Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code STAPLE20.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the show. Thanks for taking a break from your endless archives to tune into a podcast. Lotus and I have already been going for like 30 minutes talking about AI and how that might destroy the world and steal our humanity. But if you weren't here for that, for the live show, maybe show up for the live show. You get all these crazy conversations sometimes before or after the show. Lotus, welcome back to the show. I'm Tom, the host. This is Lotus. Lotus, what's up, man? How's it going?
I'm pretty good. That was a fun chat pre-show. Has absolutely nothing yet to do with what the Elder Scrolls has to do with. So, but no, it was a fun chat, and I'm eager to get into our topic for tonight, I guess.
Yeah. So today we are picking back up with our Daedric creatures, our Daedric monsters and creatures. We've got four new Daedric creatures to discuss. As always, we are working through these alphabetically in no specific order other than they just show up alphabetically from the UESP article about all the Daedric creatures. It's a really easy way to take a look at everything, and it's a very reliable source and also friends of the show. So
yeah,
that's where we're getting a lot of the information, and we will be reading through some of the bits of information and then discussing and adding more details to it. And Lotus, today we are starting off with imps.
Imps, classic imps, which are in all sorts of weird fiction, but they have an Elder Scrolls version, so, you know, let's
dig into it.
Let's dig into it. They're weird.
Yeah, like they are kind of weird. Yeah, they are
kind of weird, and they're this version of the imp I find is pretty interesting, just in regards to, I don't know. Originally, my thought on imps, which is not exactly what I think you would get from like D&D or something like that, is whenever I think imps, I think of the Doom imps.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which are nothing like these, by the way. Absolutely not even remotely close. But that's just my default is actually thinking of those things as opposed to these.
Interesting, yeah. All right, so here's what the UESP article says. It says, imps are small winged humanoids who are slightly intelligent, can cast a variety of spells. They are known to be aggressive and mischievous creatures. The origins of the imps are not clearly understood. Some sources suggest they may be Daedric beings, while others state that they are artificial constructs similar to golems. It may be that both theories are correct, or that they are something else entirely. Imps are listed among the types of common Daedra that can be found in service to every Daedric prince. Yes, every Daedric prince. Imps were also among the first beings summoned from Oblivion during the development of conjuration magic. Go back and listen to our magic episodes where we talk about the different types of magic and the origins of conjuration magic and all
baby's
that.
Baby's first conjuration is usually an imp.
Baby's first conjuration. Summon a friend, baby. further suggesting at least some imps could be Daedra. They are commonly found in the wilderness throughout Tamriel, often gathering in caves. They can also be found in the Deadlands, Apocrypha, or in the company of elemental Atronachs. Speakers, this is interesting, speakers of Impish can tame or even summon these creatures. If you can speak their language, that's pretty cool. You can like talk them into working for you.
Yeah, I mean, they're only semi-intelligent.
yeah, I give you what you want. You work for me. Okay, cool.
All right, sounds good.
Sounds good. The language is taught by both the Mages Guild and the School of Julianos. Imps often serve as familiars or vault guardians for magisters, although they have been known to go rogue. Although usually hostile, some imps can be quite good-natured once they have imprinted on an individual. Daedra have been known to hire imp-drawn carts to transport items across the plains of Oblivion. You can also get a bunch of items from them and stuff like that. So, yeah, so here, I've got some images of imps. I'm going to put back up on the screen. And if you are listening to this, of course, this episode is up on Twitch right now because we record these live, and also on the Elder Scrolls Lorecast YouTube channel if you want to see the images. And let's talk about these, Lotus. We've got the first, really early imp from Daggerfall.
Yeah.
And, bald little horned demon-looking dude with wings.
Sure. He's like a little gremlin with wings.
Yeah, gremlins. That's a good explanation. But by the time we get to Oblivion, they look like these, like, beefy, muscular...
Yeah, they're a little more formed. So
grumpy guys.
Weird because just Flying Evil Yoda, actually, that's pretty solid, too.
Yeah, yeah. Rosticus in chat says Flying Evil Yoda. That's solid.
So... interesting enough, we haven't gotten to them yet, so we're not going to discuss them too much now, but we'll touch on them more later. They always, at least when I first got into this series, they just struck out to me as like, okay, so it's a scamp, but it flies.
Yeah, it's like a flying scamp, yes.
Yeah, and it's like, we haven't gotten to scamps yet, so we'll get to those later once we get to the whole S's category. But they're just like these runty little creations that kind of pop up around the area. At no point are they ever really that big of a threat in any of the games. It's really just kind of like, we need a starter enemy that's kind of crappy. And it's just right. These things. And it's right. Like, it makes sense that they're almost like little helpers just in the Daedric realm or floating around the wilderness. Because again, Rob brought it up in chat and, you know, we covered it here. But like, I understand why they're kind of, okay, are they Daedra or not? They're weird, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there's a lot of weird stuff in Morrowind. That doesn't necessarily mean it's all Daedric. Like,
yeah, right.
So
right.
These ones where scamps are definitively Daedric, these ones always seemed kind of weird because it's like, okay, well, it's just like another version of it, but these ones almost seem like they might just be normal inhabitants.
Yeah, and especially because they seem to be easily or more easily tamed by the other races of Tamriel.
Right.
So maybe they have a little bit more in common with them on some level, or maybe they are just constructs. Maybe they aren't actually Daedra themselves, but they are kind of magical constructs that can be leveraged, you know, biological magical constructs, but still constructs. Like the article says, the jury's still out on that. It seems a little bit implied that one, but a little bit implied in another. But
yeah,
they're all over the place, right?
They definitely strike me as more just denizens of Tamriel than but then again, you can conjure them. So like that's usually more indicative of a Daedric presence. Not entirely, but.
Right. Well, you can conjure spirits too. So
right, that's what I mean. It's like
it has to be Daedra.
Not totally like, oh, well, that solves it. But it's type of thing where it's like, yeah, that tends to kind of coincide because I was going to say you can also conjure weapons too, and that hardly makes those Daedric. So
sure. Yeah, and like many of the other Daedra that we have across the games, I mean, this shows up in Daggerfall, Oblivion, and then ESO. And of course, in ESO, you get all sorts of variations of creatures. So you got green ones and gray ones, stone glow imps, horned red imps, frost shrike imps, fiery imps, vile imps. There's a whole variety of different types of imps. So they show up all over the place. So pretty common little flying grumpy evil Yodas.
Well, yeah, there it is. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to our second one. The Incarnate. Do you have any gut feelings about the Incarnate?
Yeah. So the Incarnates are, these things are kind of neat. Just because, let me bring them up. They're
very humanoid.
They're very humanoid. Mm-hmm. Just from a personal standpoint, the storm ones or the tidal wave ones are, I just love that color scheme. it's like this weird sea foam teal color thing. But incarnates are, if you haven't seen an incarnate, perfect. You got them up on the screen. So like incarnates in general, they have a very similar feel to Flame Atronachs when they became like the modern day adaptation of Flame Atronachs. They've got that weird, like, their physical corporeal form seems kind of just like glowy, and then they've got like this,
yeah, almost like armor. Magic imbued armor, like, right, the which, middle spaces are filled out,
yeah, right. So it's like it's weird, but these things, I think the design of these things is really, really cool. I'm actually a big fan of the Incarnates, especially with them doing a little more with it. And the Magma Incarnate, which is the boss from the Dread Cellar, it's a very specific one, it's a named one. That one's just all fleshy. It's like he's a little more distinct than some of the like faceless other ones, because they don't really have like a definitive like identity to them. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah. So here, let's do a little bit more describing.
Say, we just do our
for the audio.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Incarnates typically look like these kind of like bodies, these shells with like, I don't know, magic body and armor. But the Magma Incarnate looks very Dagon-esque. Multiple arms, fleshy, but same kind of humanoid type of shape, but just a whole bulkier, without being green. But here's what the article says. Incarnates are an experimental race of elemental Daedra beings created by changing the animus of a Daedra using a machine known as a catalyst. This experience is alien to the immortal Daedra, whose spirits are generally considered to be unchanging and immutable. The process causes the Daedra to lose all sense of individuality and consciousness, becoming an incarnate of destruction. Each incarnate is a manifestation of a specific kind of elemental destruction or natural disaster. So you get storms and cyclones, right, and magma and all that kind of thing.
To the point that I kind of was alluding to earlier is they're kind of these faceless things. They're more of like a generic like overlay of something,
like an elemental being without any personhood anymore.
The same way, like, to cross into outside the Elder Scrolls, but into other things, where you have just these generic like files of enemy. You have stormtroopers. Okay, you can't tell the difference. They all look the same in their suits, like from Star Wars.
Right.
You have, you know, from Ninja Turtles, you have the foot soldiers. They hide their faces. Okay, like, yes, they're just these but they have a definitive type to them in and of themselves, but it's like super interchangeable because they don't really have any personality to themselves. They just kind of become a faceless mass.
Right. Yeah. Good point. The article goes on. It says the perfected incarnate was unique in that it embodied both destruction and creation, combining the power of the two forces. Circa the second era 582, Mehrunes Dagon and the Daedric Prince of Change ordered the construction of numerous catalysts to create an army of incarnates, although his efforts were ultimately thwarted with the destruction of these machines and the banishing of a few incarnates that were successfully created. So
that would be the Blackwood chapter, basically, nutshell.
Yeah, yes, right.
But that's also very, very Mehrunes Dagon, where everybody always attributed to him blowing everything up, but it's actually just the idea of change, not necessarily only destruction. It's
right,
creation is part of the thing, and that's just it. It's like, if he's destroying one thing to create another thing, that's like the definitive Mehrunes Dagon, which is kind of neat that these are so, like, they're almost like an embodiment of exactly what he believes in.
Yeah, and he's doing it to his own Daedra. Like, he's taking Daedric spirits and he's stripping out their personhood and then forcing them into this new form, basically, by removing the animus, which sounds terrifying if you're a Daedra.
Like, yeah, that sounds pretty awful.
It's almost like they're Daedric elemental zombies.
If you
put them in that category.
Yeah, which, you know, that's also, you know, we've seen that a lot with the Aurorans from Meridia. I don't want to trip over that much.
Yeah.
Similar situation. It's like their will kind of gets stripped away, and it's just like, no, this is just, you have your directive, and that's literally all you got. It's not a lot to you other than that. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, and it makes sense that Daedric Princes would want that, because
they just want unending loyalty.
Unending loyalty. Might as well just make an army of these elemental zombies and
hollow out any of that stuff that's getting in the way, like, you know, trying to do stuff on your own and free thought. Was that a Simpsons thing? Independent thought alarm?
No, no lunch breaks for any of them. Nobody gets a lunch break anymore. Just get back to work.
Back to toiling.
Back to toiling. All right. So we've got two more to get to, but we got to take a break and go thank our sponsors. So don't go anywhere. Our sponsors being our Patreons. I never say we're going to go thank our sponsors.
Thanks, sponsors. Weird. Patrons.
Thanks. Thank you to our sponsors, our patrons. All right. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we go. We're in the middle of the show with our sponsors.
After that smooth as butter transition.
So good. So good. Here we go. All right, like, let's see. I'm pulling up our current and newest sponsors, which include Jib, Captain Kermit, and Ian S. Thank you for joining the Patreon. They joined over the last week or so. And I hope you're enjoying the ad-free episodes or the t-shirts and stickers that eventually you will get if you stick around long enough, all of that stuff. And appreciate your support. Also, we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, Kira C and Sheogorath Sweetroll, who get shout outs every week because they are one of the highest tiers that you can get to on the Patreon. Thank you for your support with that. Also, if you'd like to help the show in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And we don't have any new ones this week, but go ahead and drop one in. Even if you have an account and you don't listen on the service, it's a great way to get your words on the show. And it also helps us out by letting people know that, hey, this is still a great show to listen to. So thank you for everybody who does that. If you're interested in the Patreon, patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast is where to go check that out. You can also leave a review or a rating, at least on Spotify. And you can even comment on the episodes or whatever podcatcher you're listening to this on and tell your friends and any of that stuff. All of it helps. We couldn't do this without you.
All right. Appreciated.
Very much so. All right. Let's move on with the rest of the Daedric creatures. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
Lotus, we've got a kind of a weird one here. The Infernium.
Yeah.
These guys are like creepy bug monster things.
So
really big ones.
These are like really new to the series for the most part. Like, so the version that we kind of are discussing is what's new, as opposed to, I guess, what was sort of alluded to. So to be precise, at the end of Oblivion, so spoilers for the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. So, yeah, if you don't want to have Oblivion spoiled, I guess now would be the time.
16-year-old game?
Is that how there's old? Like that siege crawler thing that assaults at the end of the game. I actually, prior to looking this up for this specific episode, had no idea that thing was like alluded to, that it was partly living. I just thought it was a giant mechanical construct, like battering ram / blender. Like,
yeah, no, it's got juicy parts too.
It's apparently got juicy parts, which I did not know.
That's what I call everything that's biological just is juicy parts.
Juicy parts, not a Cuisinart. I actually didn't know that prior to this. And apparently they're related to these weird millipede-looking gross things that have been added to ESO as of late.
The Skitteris.
Yeah, and it's
these guys. Yeah.
I love the enemy design, personally, and I think they're really fun to fight in the Elder Scrolls Online. And until I realized they were a version of the creature that was brought through the Oblivion portal in Oblivion, I actually didn't know that there had ever been in the series. I was kind of surprised to learn that originally.
Yeah. So here, let's go into the details on this. Inferniums are large bestial daedra that dwarf most known daedra in both size and hideousness, resembling a great fanged insect, leech, or monstrous caterpillar with numerous teeth. They are many-legged beasts that chase after their prey, screaming and spewing molten rock. They're also occasionally referred to as lavipedes, which you can see why you would call it a lavipede, but is uncharacteristic of their morphology. They are very intelligent. It goes on. There's more. Inferniums are huge enough to easily devour beasts as large as horses. Although they do not have a preference for what it consumes, they typically are obsessed with concepts of upheaval and revolution. Because remember, they're intelligent. So they like concepts and ideas, right? Despite their bestial appearance, Inferniums do not pursue these ends in a crude general sense. They are aware of where political and cultural power rests. High-ranking Dremora routinely fall prey to attacks from Inferniums. They are attacked far more often than low-ranking varlets, who typically enjoy fewer defenses. Because these guys are smart and they know which ones to go after, right? Inferniums also consume powerful items such as Grand Soul Gems, Master Lucence, and valuable extraplanar relics. They are also known to hoard trinkets such as jewelry and precious gems, but also collect armor and magical items. They can be found in the Deadlands, typically wherever there is anything or anyone of potential prestige or authority. They can also be encountered in the Plane of Deadlight. Inferniums are typically aligned with the Daedric Prince Mehrunes Dagon. Occasionally, Inferniums are accompanied by Havokrells. According to some sources, Inferniums need that assistance. It was theorized that some Havokrells are attempting to train Inferniums. Certain Inferniums are noted to reform far more frequently than any other routinely killed Daedra. In some cases, the process of reformation can take only a few days. Although the time of reformation is short, it is inconsistent and varies between the spectrum. Between the specimen. According to the records of the Scribes of Mora, Inferniums managed to take down one of the Zivali clans back in the First Era. So these guys are like no joke.
They're not. And so just the way that it was documented on the UESP, it's so funny because I feel like so these things are, despite what they look like, is just like nightmare creatures, like where you're not immediately assuming, oh, these are like an intelligent race that's just like a monster thing. But the way that it's worded specifically, that these many-legged beasts that chase after their prey, screaming and spewing molten rock, I'm sorry, but there is no way that like I can ever picture their conversations, not just them shrieking at each other and just vomiting rocks while trying to have a civilized, like, philosophical conversation. Like, that line has ruined their ability to be too smart. Like, regardless of what their discussion is, like, the sound they make is pretty horrific in game anyways, so, like, I get it. But, like, something this smart, quote-unquote, that also has such a ridiculous description, that means they're logically choosing probably to do that just because of how horrific it is.
Well, you know what these actually remind me of are dragons. Typically, dragons are big monsters, and if you didn't know, you would assume that they were dumb animals, but they also are typically highly intelligent. They have an understanding of social constructs and power and who holds the power. They understand what the other races are doing and why they might be doing what they're doing. They're highly intelligent. And these just happen to look like, as Rob the Princess stated, an anus with too many legs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually, yep, that's, yep. I was thinking like one of those sandworm things, but yeah, an anus with too many legs. Okay, I was thinking a sandworm with legs, but you know what? That's fine. Totally.
Leganus. These are called Leganuses.
Leganuses. I'm a little concerned that where people have that many teeth in their anus, apparently.
Oh, God. I don't. Do you?
Nope. I'm a little. That's why I'm a little concerned about that analogy.
Rob, but how many teeth do you have in your anus?
Well,
that is a question I don't think I ever predicted I would ask anybody ever.
Uncomfortable, so we'll just move past that.
oh, man.
But, yeah, I don't know. The creature design on these things is really, really great. I actually love the design on these things. I think they're really freaky. But it's weird to think that they have thought, because actually, as brought up in chat, again, by Rosicus, like, how would something like this express itself other than the screaming and vomiting on each other? Yeah, okay, that's fine. But like,
yeah,
they have these weird little like leg things, so it's not like they can write. Like, they're not going to be articulating like writing.
Yeah, all intents and purposes,
scratching a wall like dragons scratch. True. You know what I mean? So like, I guess they can't hold a pen, but they can still, you know, share that information. So maybe these things leave dirt messages, or
maybe it's just telepathic or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Maybe they're just like, telepathic.
They don't have opposable thumbs. They all just basically are giant bugs, and they don't even have very expressive faces because they just look like giant anuses. But maybe it's all telepathic. Maybe they.
Yeah, maybe.
What do you think they sound like in your head?
I just assume high-pitched screaming still. Like, that's, I just assume that's their normal volume for whatever they're saying is very high-pitched screaming.
Do you think they just, like, yell, like, I really like your art.
That's great. Like,
that's great. You are a wonderful performer. Your songs move me.
You're not very meaningful. Like, yeah, just every single situation is just screaming like all the time. Yeah,
it's like, without a doubt,
I assume that's just all communication amongst these things. Now, I honestly, I hope they do more with these creatures, because I feel like they're not super. Like I said, we made the sandworm things and stuff like that. Like, they're not total. I think they're a really cool enemy, and they're really good at being. One problem that I have sort of with like a little bit of the design in ESO, at least, bosses kind of need to be easier to target from a game design standpoint.
Right.
So they're bigger.
Yeah. Like,
they literally are larger. These things are supposed to be huge. So it makes more sense than this Altmer happens to be 9 feet tall. Okay, well, this thing is normally the size of a house, so that's fine. Like, I feel like it's a good enemy for something like an MMO specifically.
Right. When you have a bunch of people trying to fight one thing, and you have to be able to keep track of it, rather than a crowd of people fighting something the same size as everybody else. That's a little bit
which
hard.
Is more normal for the single player games. But I mean, then you have the one in Oblivion, which was literally like bigger than the walls of the Imperial City. That thing was just bulldozing house. So they can get real big, apparently.
Yeah, I wonder if there's, I mean, it doesn't talk about that. And obviously we don't know enough about these, like many of these danger creatures. We don't know the full story of their lore.
Sure. This is just kind of a.
Yeah. But I wonder if like goldfish, they just keep growing to fill their environment.
Oh,
you know, yeah, like so, they right, just so, keep getting bigger as they get older. And so maybe that was like an ancient one or something.
Yeah. So it's people, you got to watch what you flush into Oblivion.
Don't flush. If you see a Skrataris running around, don't flush it into Oblivion, because it might actually be an Infernium, like a little baby one. And it's just going to get
Infernium. Next thing you know, coming through a Daedric portal and ripping down the Imperial City.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So be careful with your toilets and your walking anuses. All right.
Well, luckily there are no toilets in Nirn, as we all know.
That's true. That is weird, isn't it? I wonder if in the next Elder Scrolls we'll end up with actual bathrooms and toilets.
No, they put it's them to in. Prevent these things.
That's to prevent that's them.
They were outlawed out here.
I mean, they did put them in Starfield. We've got toilets in Starfield, so.
There you go.
Maybe those. All right, let's move on to our last one. This one, we've got another humanoid, the Knight of Order. Here, I'll just go ahead and start reading out, and then feel free to chime in.
Yeah.
The Knights of Order are mindless Daedric soldiers resembling crystalline armored knights. They serve the Daedric Prince of Order, Jigalag, and make up one part of the Forces of Order, which also includes the Priests of Order and Jigalag. Their origins and their goals are unknown. They are soulless warriors that kill without hesitation, and it is therefore highly advised to destroy them on sight. They are said to be without, quote, a bit of original thought in their lifeless husks. They are only ever encountered during the Grey March at the end of every era, during which they are summoned to the Shivering Isles via the obelisks of order that dot the landscape of the realm, wreaking havoc in anticipation of Jigalag's return. The knights are drawn to obelisks like flies to honey and are summoned by priests of order through chanting and rituals. They are naturally attracted to the Resonator of Judgment in the ruins of Zidillion, I think I said that one correctly, maybe.
I wouldn't have said it differently, so.
There you go. Yeah. Which was made from the obelisks. The Knights of Order are naturally resistant to magic and poison. Hearts of Order are a rare alchemical ingredient harvested by the Knights of a Fallen Knight, from the chest of a Fallen Knight. These are utilized by Priests of Order as keys and power sources. Three hearts are enough to overload an active obelisk of order, temporarily deactivating it and allowing its priests to be killed. Circa 4th era 201, the manic wizard Thoron seemingly made use of these hearts together with the sword of Jigalag when attempting to open a pathway to the Isles from Tamriel. So these are basically Jigalag's, like, warriors that, denote the return?
So, ironically, I made the reference earlier when we were talking about incarnates kind of being like these, like, Dagon's version of like these whole soul, you know, kind of reincarnating these things into these kind of super subservient enemies. And I was like, oh, Meridia, these are also another one that would be a perfect example of that, except these aren't like these are just like, okay, these are my warriors. They really don't have thought on their own. They just do my bidding, essentially. Well, or did, because Jigalag isn't always present, as we've discussed, where like the Grey March, you really is going to be the only time you're going to see them without some type of weird shift where if the Grey March were to like succeed or something like that, we'd probably have them more.
Yeah. More common.
Prevalent.
Kind of like how Sheogorath has his certain types of Daedra that he keeps in his realm.
Exactly. They all kind of have, well, they don't all, but like a lot of the Daedric princes have kind of their go-to. And like these ones are just kind of like the mindless minions of Jigalag, which is, they're really interesting design because they kind of, at least in game, we haven't seen them a lot in game. It's actually pretty uncommon that we've seen them. We see them in Oblivion and I think
that's Blades. It because of the,
but not Blades. Oh, Legends? Sorry, Legends. I think there's a card arc. I was going to say,
there's card art for them, but like the only time we actually play through in an RPG is in Oblivion.
And other than that, it's literally, you're just going on concept art, but it's kind of interesting because they just kind of look like miniature Jigalags.
Yeah. I was going to say that too.
Jigalag. It's just a little Jigalag.
Yeah, it's very much built on Jigalag, and Jigalag being order. And so order, you have something that's focused on order. Its armor is going to be very ordered and symmetrical and full of these,
everything's
like
everything's very sharp angles, sharp symmetrical shapes. Looks almost mirror-esque type of deal.
Yeah.
And yeah, these are essentially just little mini versions.
Yeah. Yeah. So and their one job is to like make way for Jigalag to return.
For Jigalag, yeah.
So I suppose with four eras in the bag, these have come about four times now, three times?
Yeah, they're pretty bad track record, though.
Yeah, I guess they're not very succeeding. Good at their jobs.
Don't seem overly efficient.
Yeah, I guess that is it. But yeah, to your point, they are very similar to some of the other just kind of mindless servants of some of the other Daedric princes. And
yeah, they don't have will of their own. It doesn't really seem like they don't really even seem to do much outside their one job. Like,
right.
Even with like seducers, like, or the Golden Saints, they have this interplay that seems to imply that they're like sentient beings and do stuff unless they're like on the job, quote unquote. You know what I mean? For lack of a better way of putting it.
Right. They have personalities. They have a social structure and hierarchy. Right.
Creatures like the Knights of Order, I literally, it's just like, okay, just sit in your box until it's Grey March time.
And I'm sure that armor is like really heavy and hot to wear, but just keep marching around and wait for somebody else to show up and then kill them.
It's like they're walking in a very orderly square, like just 24 hours a day until it's Grey March time. And that's like, they don't seem like there's much to them as a creature outside of just like, you exist for this one purpose. And when that one purpose isn't happening, you essentially just sit and wait. It's very similar. Like they come across as a very video gamey.
Yeah. I was going to say that it's analogous to game designers coming up with an enemy who does one job and it just waits for the hero to show up and then they get killed.
Going back to Doom, for example, like you have monster closets.
Yeah.
This thing has literally been sitting behind this wall waiting for you to flip this switch for years. Then you flip the switch and just shotgun it and its life is over. And it was, what a, all that wait for nothing. It's a very video gamey type of thing with the Knights of Order, at least it seems like, unless there's more to them that we haven't seen yet. But
there might be, because like many of these creatures, the amount of ability to study them is limited. So most Aegir creatures, it's limited by
even
the fact
more than
that
some of the others.
So most Aegir creatures, like the Zivalai or whoever, are limited in the fact that they just don't deal with mortals very often. And if they do, oftentimes they don't have time for them, or they just outright will kill you or whatever. When it comes to something like the Knights of Order, they only show up at the end of every era, only for a very short period of time, and the only mortals who ever really interact with them are the ones who are potentially mantling Sheogorath at the time. So it's not like if you were a sorcerer who was like an academician, is that a word, who studies Daedra, that you'd be like, you'd have to be right at the right time in the right place. You'd have to meet them and survive. And it's not like you can just sit down and like say, hey, can we go get a cup of coffee?
Q&A while we sword fight.
I'm like, going to interview you real fast. Tell me a little bit about what it's like to be one of the Knights of Order. No, they just, they don't do that. And Jigalag's not going to tell you anything about him either.
So here's a thought. Now, I have no idea if this is, this is speculation time from Lotus. This is not based on anything from the UESP. It's just based on gameplay and the idea of this, because these things are kind of shallow. So I'm curious on your thoughts on this. So if you remember in Oblivion, and actually there's a photo of it, and ironically, the photo of the Knight of Order from the Shivering Isles on Oblivion that just happens to be the picture they used on the UESP has it in the background. There are these crystalline spike things that kind of like herald the coming of the Great March. And these things are like kind of wrecking house while you're playing it. Like they're just kind of like spiring up and forming around you and stuff like that. What do you think of the idea of maybe there's a reason there's not much to them, because like they're formed as part of this. Like it's almost like they're grown.
Almost like they're a geological feature.
Like animated geological formation, because there doesn't seem like a lot of sentient thought so much as just like, yeah, you're just mini versions of the coming of Jigalag, and with, you know, these crystalline structures and stuff like that, that he's using to break through stuff, set up, you know, defenses and things like that during the Grey March. I almost wonder if it's the same stuff, except he just animates some of them. You know what I mean?
Like maybe
that's why there's not much to them beyond just do what I say.
My impression of Jigalag in general is that although many of the Daedric princes have personality traits, they also seem to be people. Well, at least not like human people, but
not,
like
not the
powerful
people,
but they have personalities, and they also can contemplate and make choices. You can change their minds sometimes. Like they interact with their environment, and they are thoughtful much of the time, and they will, you know, make decisions and things like that.
They feel like actual literary characters as well.
Right. Sheogorath, very much like that, insane. Jigalag, on the other hand, feels more like a force of nature. Seems like he's less of a let's decide what to do and more of a everything in order the way it's supposed to be. No questions, no decision making. It's almost like just a, you know, just same way that, like, I don't know, gravity works. Gravity just works a certain way. It does what it does. And that's it. There's no deciding, am I going to keep this moon in orbit around this planet? It just does what it does. And Jigalag feels like way more in line with something like that than many of the other Daedric princes.
That's actually kind of an interesting point.
So I would imagine that things from his realm, creatures that work for him, if they are basically part of Jigalag, or at least came from that original design and mind space, would be very similar. That something like a Knight of Order isn't going to be wondering what to do. It just does its one thing, and that's what it does.
Right. Well, and actually, I kind of like that point, just based on the idea of, as we know, the reason that this whole Grey March, Jigalag, and Sheogorath thing all came about was because the other Daedric princes kind of were like, okay, this
This guy's intolerant. Like, we can't do anything. We can't convince him to change his mind.
Too powerful.
Yeah.
And in terms of powerful, which is one of the things that I've always thought was interesting, because, you know, obviously he's supposedly very powerful, and that was the idea of all of the other data princes ganging up on that. I wonder if it was because it's like, well, the reason Jigalag is so powerful is because the idea he's more of a force of creation, and the way things have to go than a creature that you can interact with. And like, when you get to that thing, okay, well, Daedric princes, if they want to do stuff, regardless of what it is, because their motives are all over the place throughout the series and stuff like that, if that's being hampered, it's like, well, what if we all band together and we can basically break this reality of like, okay,
right,
that'd be like a bunch of scientists being like, okay, can we turn off gravity on Earth? Which, okay.
Sure. Well, maybe you can build technology that does that, but it's going to take a lot of effort from multiple people.
Yeah. You can do it at a small portion. Well, maybe that's more of what it related to. Maybe it was like them trying to literally change the course of, you know, the force of nature, which was essentially Jigalag. That's actually kind of a neat idea.
Yeah. Well, and there are some other Daedric princes that kind of coincide more with forces of nature, like Mehrunes Dagon. Being change, right?
Just change.
We talked about him previously. That he feels again like, and we've talked about
Daedra
him a lot.
Tend to seem to be a little more force of nature, and a little less nuanced.
Right, right, absolutely. And those that have seemed to be have been mantled seem like they might also bring with them a little bit more of the personhood. I don't.
Yes.
This is. I'm just speculating. I mean, this is. Don't quote me on this.
Kind of
this is not definitive.
This is.
And there may be counterexamples to this, but just riffing off the top of my head, maybe the organization of these powerful spiritual type of beings, whether they're the Daedra or the Aedra, is that they all started out as some foundational piece of just the way reality works, and over time, they either get whittled away or they get mantled and they become more like people and other kinds of creatures. But
some of them come from the repeated mantling or something like that as well. Like,
maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting idea.
So I don't know. That's speculation. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Of course, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord.
Why maybe those are like that? Because, that was just the first thing that popped into my head. And the force of nature idea, I actually feel like when you brought that, I was like, oh, that actually kind of adds to the fact it's like, oh yeah, that actually would also sync up. So it's just an interesting thought line of, because Jigalag is just, it's such a strange entity in the series even compared to already weird stuff, so like that one's a bit more nebulous because we get so little information on that Daedric prince, and it's essentially kind of lost to a lot of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, this has been cool. Of course, we've got these interesting questions.
I liked a couple of these. I was pretty excited to finally cover. So,
yeah. And like I said, if you have any thoughts on any of what we've said, if you have any examples of things that could prove some of the theories we have or disprove them, because either more information
totally
is good.
Something.
Yeah, that's great. You know, kindly, politely say, hey, well, actually, here's this thing. And we'll go, okay, well, maybe your theory doesn't stand, but maybe that creates another theory, right? So,
right,
just like science, we're constantly adjusting our ideas with new information. So all right, well, thank you for joining us, Lotus. You got other stuff you want to share before we head out?
No, hopefully at the start of the week we can get an episode of Tales out for everybody. I have been in so frustratingly busy. I mean, good stuff. I'm just busy as of late, which has caused some recording issues because already we deal with very weird time situations. But yeah, kind of also excited because Endless Archive launched with update 40 for Elder Scrolls Online for anybody who plays that. It hasn't hit on console yet, so I don't have an opinion, but Ark has been playing it. So he's going to have thoughts. And yeah, I think we should be able to announce next show what the plans are for Extra Life coming up. So that'll be very exciting as that's on the horizon. So stay tuned for that. And hopefully at the beginning of the week, we'll have a new episode of UHP's Tales of Tamriel for everybody. But other than that, I am going on a little mini vacation this weekend to the mountains.
Nice. So, well, enjoy it. Hopefully the weather isn't too crazy or cold.
It's
going
to be, so it's supposed to be nice, but pretty chilly. But the place we're going to has a heated outdoor pool, which is amazing. It starts in the building and you can swim outside and it's always 80 degrees. It's
nice.
Amazing.
Nice. That sounds awesome. Yeah. Well, have a lot of fun with that. And I need to dive into the Endless Archives. I haven't tried it out yet.
But. I'm sorry. I cannot wait to get it. We get it on the 14th. So I've got.
You're not going to try it with your PC character just to give it a go?
So I may have run out of space when I actually installed another game. So I can't actually get the update on my PC.
Oh, no. All right. Well. Oh, first world problems.
None of hard drive space. First world as it gets, good Lord.
Well, awesome. Well, good luck with all that, and hope your trip goes well. Of course, thanks. if you like the stuff I do a bunch of other shows, robotsradio.net, Fallout Lorecast, Starfield Lorecast, Lord of the Rings Lorecast. In fact, I'm launching a Lord of the Rings Lorecast video channel where I'm taking the episodes. They're now like 80-plus episodes, and I'm trying to make them work for video to see if people will like them on there. So if you want to look that up, give it a shot, see what you think about the first video. And thank you everybody for tuning in. Chat, thank you for being here for the live show. We always love all the comments and some of the funny things you say. Even if we don't get a chance to call it out, we read it all. So thank you.
See them.
Yep. And telepathic death anuses. All right. On that note, stay safe out there. Look out for the telepathic death anuses, and we'll see you next time. Bye everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.